SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM, 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And I suppose it's a good Friday if you're anywhere out of the path of the storm. And having lived and worked in North Carolina, going back to the 80s, that the coastal area where a lot of the coverage today and last night is focusing on New Bern and Moorhead. And I've been through there, and it's quite lovely, and wish everybody best of luck. It's not a pleasant scene. It's strictly hope for the best scenario. People, being rescued, and there'll be a lot of flooding damage, obviously, and the rains the next, they say, 48 hours. just unbelievable. So keeping an eye down there, and there's been a lot of coverage, actually, about the horses, the interest in the wild horses, and the herd that remarkably has been there for hundreds of years, and then down toward Aiken and down toward horse country in South Carolina too. So everybody watching and hoping and wishing everybody the best on that front. Meanwhile, out of harm's way, but not necessarily out of the way of inclement weather, the rest of the Northeast dealing with some ramifications, including the spat in New Jersey between Meadowlands and Monmouth regarding the turf course. And today was supposed to be, this evening was supposed to be the opening of the all-turf card and the six race dates, and it was canceled earlier in the week in anticipation of wet weather. Naira is off the turf for the most part today. Just one race remains on the grass. That is the fifth. Everything else came off, and everything else happens to be five other races, as it turns out. The second and the fourth, the seventh, eighth, and ninth had all been scheduled for the turf. So only the fifth, the second level allowance for fillies and mares, remains on the grass in a sprint, six furlong turf sprint. Everything else will have to be run on the main track. And the expectation, I mean, for now, I don't think it's that sloppy yet, but headed in that direction. And then we'll hope for the best for tomorrow too, because the Sands Point, not just the Sands Point, but also the other race that ties into the Woodbine Belmont cross country pick four. And the Sands Point goes as the ninth, and a 35,000 non-three goes as the eighth. The Sands Point's on the inner, and the 35 non-three is on the main course and the widener. And I'm sure ideally they want to keep both of those on for tomorrow, tying in with the Woodbine Mile. We'll tie on quite a bit with Woodbine today. Keith McCalmont will join us in hour two, and look forward to checking in with Keith. Not only are we excited and looking forward to the Woodbine Mile and the rest of that card on Saturday, but we also got to talk about Sunday, because it's a big win and you're in weekend, the first of many, many in a row here, as the Breeders' Cup Challenge sequences really start to multiply. 10 races tomorrow and Sunday, and really all around North America, both Woodbine and at Churchill, the Iroquois and the Pocahontas. We'll talk to Marty McGee first after the first break today. Looking forward to checking in with Mart as Churchill kicks off this, it's pretty succinct season before things turn to Keeneland, and then we'll return to Churchill for the Breeders' Cup and for the November meet. But the Iroquois and the Pocahontas get things going. Two full fields for the two-year-olds, going a mile and a 16th for the juvenile and the juvenile filly. Winning your in slots. Sunday, it's the turf at Woodbine for the two-year-olds, the Natalma and the Summer Stakes. Nice fields for both. So in addition to the Woodbine mile card and everything that comes with that, the Northern Dancer and the Bold Venture, and the Canadian, all stakes pick four. The Woodbine Miles, the only winning you're in on that card for the mile. But then earlier in the day, Leopardstown on Saturday and the Curra on Sunday. On Sunday, the Moyglare, the two-year-old fillies going seven. That'll win it in for the juvenile filly turf. And the Derrenstown stud, the five furlong, the flying five, a turf sprint group that would then come to Churchill. Somebody's going to get a free pass. And at Leopardstown tomorrow morning, the matron. And that is a win and you're in for the filly and mare turf. You've got the Irish champion, the mile and a quarter. That gets you into the Longines turf. And the champion's juvenile for the juvenile turf. So 10 win and you're in events starting tomorrow morning in Ireland and ending Sunday afternoon at Woodbine. So two big days north of the border. Woodbine action. And we'll talk, as I mentioned, to Keith McCalmont. But also, Mike Beer is going to join us at the top of hour two. We'll do some Belmont with Mike. And he also has looked at, I think he said the three turf stakes. He may not have looked at the Bold Venture, but the more you look at the Bold Venture, it's hard to envision Pink Lloyd getting beat. Last night we did a Stats Race Lens seminar, and I thought maybe you leaned on inflexibility and then tried to make sure that in case somebody beat Pink Lloyd, you were part of that. But the more I looked at it last night and this morning, it just feels like Pink Lloyd is just going to be very tough in there. But we'll talk to Mike about the cross-country pick four and hope turf-wise things stay intact around the rest of the country and around the news and everything that went on. We'll look forward to a bit of a recap as the Kentucky Downs season came to an end. The five race days, just a smashing success. And I have no way of knowing if that postponement from Sunday to Wednesday may have actually been a boon. Sunday's not a great handle day in the game, and Kentucky Downs really had the focus. You could feel on Wednesday and yesterday. Of course, I mean, yesterday was already, you know, scheduled, but certainly on Wednesday, with Belmont not running and California, et cetera, it really provided a focus on Kentucky Downs and their numbers. You know, with every meet, they smash records, and you know they've got the luxury of a lot of money that can be used at their disposal, and they're using it wisely. And that includes making the pricing on their wagers very attractive. That's a big part of the storyline and the success. So yesterday, to give a quick glance, you had the last two stakes, and just pulling up my where are they? Here we go. There we go. Try to get back down. The Ramsey Farm wrapped things up. And Lynn Ashby, who we've talked about and talked to with Tricky Escape, what a nice win for Tricky Escape, DiCarlo, and Ashby. And went off as second choice and vied in the late stages with Moms on Strike, who went off just a slight favorite, 20-cent favorite, $1.80 to $2, 2-1 on Tricky Escape. And Tricky Escape comes away. Owner John Marshall, and what a nice horse this is. Tricky Escape adding to the resume. Lon Wiggins, happy to see Lon, a winner, came in the Franklin Simpson. Anguston went off as the second choice favorite, 2-1 favorite. Battle Station really not involved, and Anguston ridden confidently. Brian Hernandez, and a winner ultimately by a neck on a fast closing. Majestic Dunhill, there's that George Weaver character, and Jersey Joe, bravo. Terrific mutuals and a lot of fun for those that took part. It closed out with Aaron Shorter sending out Stratton in the starter allowance that closed out the meet. Brad Cox with a maiden breaker for Rosedown Racing, Zalia, Sean Bridgemahan, Billy Mott, English Dancer, Jose Ortiz. Jose Ortiz really took to the experience at Kentucky Downs. He really put on a display. Notable maiden winner, too, for Bill Lawrence and Peter Bradley. Perfect Pitch, George Ebro and Joe Bravo. And that was a nice mutual, 17-20. And, in fact, Caton Bradar lauded that one in the paddock as they were heading to the track. And I should also mention, for those of us that were keeping tabs on the Michael Stidham Godolphin first-time starter, Mary Celeste got into that fourth race and ran very well. From the outside post, had to attend the pace and didn't have an answer for the winner, Boxwood. But the first-time starter, named after the ghost ship, Mary Celeste, she will not be a maiden long. Eddie Keneally, a winner for Bill Pape, who, of course, we all know from the jump scene. English Channel, homebred, Boxwood, under Jose Ortiz. But we're kind of rooting for Mary Celeste there, because came up the other day with Stidham. A lot of fun at Kentucky Downs. And congratulations to Corey and CJ Johnson on a tremendous success again. Reminder that, before I forget, Winx tonight. Tonight, if you're on the West Coast, 10:10 from Royal Randwick in the Optic White. 1:10 a.m. Eastern Time. If you want to watch on this coast, 1:10 Eastern, 10:10 Pacific. For Winx, who is trading at 1 to 100 in that spot. I also want to mention, I mentioned it last week, and today is the last day to submit nominations for the White Horse Awards. And did not want this to go forgotten. Got to get those in today for the White Horse Award, the Community Service Award, the Tribute to Excellence Award, and go to the Racetrack Chaplaincy website to do that. Let's take a break. Marty McGee is going to kick off the weekend preview after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Taken.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes in on this Friday weekend preview, and a cut from Beirut. No. And we didn't know who Floyd Cobb and Judd Becker were going into Wednesday's action at Kentucky Downs. But by the time we got done and by the time we talked to them yesterday, and some of you may have heard the replay just now, the first part of the morning, and Marty McGee was certainly as intrigued as anybody with the somewhat obscure winners at Kentucky Downs Wednesday. That made it a lot of fun, I thought, Marty. A $248 winner for Floyd Cobb, 73 years old, and has been training a handful of horses off and on for years. It was I had so much fun bringing him to the air, as well as Judd Becker.
Well, that's why you're the best, Vic. I mean, I wasn't really as intrigued as I was stunned by the victory by Country Stick. You know, those are the kind of horses you just, I mean, you look at them for like 4 seconds, and you go, nope, and then you go to the next one. So it's like, yeah, I guess once that, as Vic Stauffer would say, that's the tax you pay for walking in the gate when you get a horse like that to win, you know, and just ruin all your tickets.
I've had to, yesterday I went into Formulator. I wanted to see what kind of a figure Country Chick got. An 81 buyer, and considering she'd been running in the 40s and 50s, I mean, it was just as surprising, I mean, for a horse to run like that. And I mean, she really, I watched it a second time because, I mean, she was tremendous, and whether it was the jock or whatever, or she just it just all came together for her in that spot.
Yeah, at one point, you know, it looked like she was ahead by like 6 or 7 lengths. It's so hard to tell the distance there. You know, what's the eighth pole and what's, you know, because they straightened away and they still got almost 3/8 of a mile to run. So I'm trying. I guess it was around the eighth pole or so. And that's like my dad. He liked to tell the story of the 1971 Kentucky Derby, that everybody in the stands had to look down at their program and at the eighth pole when Canyonero, everybody goes, who's number 15? So it's like, that's what we were doing on Wednesday. Who is number 11? You know, when that horse was like way in front. And, you know, so, you know, Floyd Cobb, we had all kind of assumed there's a Carroll Cobb and an LV Cobb that have trained for many, many years out of Ellis Park.
Right.
And we assumed that he was related. Not so. As far as Judd Becker, you know, Scott Becker has become real prominent at Arlington. And I just assumed maybe Judd Becker was his son, but I didn't get a chance to listen to it. What's his deal?
He's a farmer, and he's a Wisconsin farmer that dabbles. He rode in the bushes in the Midwest, and now he farms soybeans and corn, and he'll get his hands on a few horses that he brings to Canterbury and Prairie Meadows and Arlington, and he trains the horses in the fields, and it's just another phenomenal, wonderful story. There's so many people out everywhere across the country that operate like this, and
they are,
you know, to be, you know, able to, it's amazing.
That reminds me of that Edward Borjan, who won the Old Friends, I think, 3 years ago. I ended up calling him 2 or 3 times about, it was the old Judmont reject that he had. I can't think of the name
right
of the horse.
Right.
But he, too, would train off the farm outside of Fort Wayne, Indiana, of all places, and put the horse in the van and driving down, you know, 6 hours, 5 hours, I don't know how many hours it would be, 6 hours to Kentucky Downs. These guys end up here. There's the guy from South Carolina. He runs horses at Kentucky Downs in Keeneland. I think his name's maybe Ray Fernandez. I forget what his name is, too. But, yeah, it's like you said, they're dotted all over the map.
Yeah, it really, to me, it's always worth taking the time to hear the stories, and you could hear the pleasure in their voices to, you know, collect the kind of purse money that they did. And for both, it's funny, for both Becker and for Cobb, that's the, you know, those two horses immediately, Bushrod and Country Chick, it became, you know, the most successful runners that they've campaigned. And I mean, Cobb's been sending them out for 40 plus years. Really quite a wonderful outcome, I thought. And those stories always worth telling. Let's tell the story about the meet overall, Marty, before we turn to Churchill, and just a smashing success for father and son Johnson and everybody involved at Kentucky Downs.
Yeah, I mean, they really work hard to put on a good show there. And even with the cancellation from Sunday to Wednesday, and we had kind of speculated last Friday, Steve, that they might have to cancel on Sunday.
That's right.
I didn't want to use word, but they did. They did it early enough so that, and they had that one cushion. You know, if they couldn't run on that Wednesday, who knows what they would do. But they got it in without further ado, and they put out their handle figures. I wrote something up earlier this morning about, yeah, here it is, 36, what did they do, 36 million, 36.4 million. So that's an average of nearly, what, $7.5 million a card. And Jenny Reese put out something last night. By comparison, the track's record handle in 2013, this, by the way, was the sixth straight year they've surpassed their handle and set a record. In 2013, the total handle was only $12.8 million, which at the time was a record. So you can see that wagering has nearly tripled over the last 5 years, which obviously reflects the increasing popularity of this meet, both mostly with the fans and the horsemen. I mean, everybody just loves it. I understand that the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, I believe it's sometime next month by statute, has to have their date set. They have been in an agreement over the last couple of years that Kentucky Downs runs at this certain time and Churchill comes in. They might be having a little squabble coming up either before the commission meeting or at the commission meeting, whenever that is. I haven't seen a date yet. But with Ellis Park having been sold by the Johnson's buddy, Ron Geary, to the Saratoga Harness folks, I don't know how that's going to play into the whole equation. But, you know, Steve, you don't really want too much of a good thing. I think something like Kentucky Downs, if they ran 10 or 12 days, it wouldn't be the same. They don't seem quite content that five is enough down there, but, you know, again, TBA as to what all the poobahs decide in terms of what they get for next year and beyond.
Well, meanwhile, we turn our attention to opening day today at Churchill, and things are real quick here, too, before Keeneland takes over, and then things will come back to Churchill for the Breeders' Cup and the November meet, and things really start off quite nicely. I did see that you had noted a couple of fairly important scratches out of today's feature. There's a couple of good races late in the card, particularly that maiden filly group, the two-year-olds going a mile, including the full sister of Proud Spell, Proudly Pacific. But then a feature came together. It's funny, I had the conversation with Stan Huff about Barry Lee and about Stanley taking over for Horacio De Paz for Sagamore, and he said when they went to enter Barry Lee, they didn't expect this thing to be, you know, so top heavy with powerhouse horses. But Madison's Luna and Dak Attack are coming out.
Dak Attack is out. He was six to one on the morning line. Madison's Luna is coming out. He was 8 to 1. Phil Bauer had even intimated to me that, you know, this race came up way tougher than he was thinking when he dropped him back in for an allowance out of a, you know, a number of stakes. So I guess that leaves Principe Gil Harum as maybe even money or so. He was just so highly regarded here, you know, a year or so ago as a two-year-old, and you know, Steve had to lay him up. I don't know what the exact reason was, but his last race was mid-February when he was disappointing behind Bravazo and Snapper Sinclair in the Risen Star. But his work pattern here in Kentucky sure appears that he's going to mean business today. So I'd imagine that today in the ninth race feature on the opening day card, Principe Gilherm will be even money or so, I would guess.
Let's turn our attention to Saturday, and you do have the two Win and You're In races for the two-year-olds that end the card, the Iroquois and the Pocahontas, and ahead of that, as part of an all-stake pick four, the Open Mind, the sprint for fillies and mares, and the Locust Grove for the fillies and mares going a distance, the mile and a 16th. Let's talk about the two-year-olds first, Mart, and they kind of are converging. This is always interesting, one of the first opportunities to mix and match them from Ellis and from Saratoga and Gulfstream visitors as well. Talk about the Iroquois and the Pocahontas.
Well, the Iroquois, they're both the mile of 6, they're both not up, just kind of winning their end, but Churchill getting to assign out the points makes these the first two 10 points to the winner races toward the Oaks and the Derby next May. And Asmussen has probably the two favorites, surely the overall favorite in Tight 10, who was the runner-up in the Saratoga Special behind Call Paul on August the 12th. You know, the question for him, like so many of these, is can he get the two turns? He's going from a pair of six furlong and six and a half furlong race, actually, to a mile and 16th. So I think that he's probably going to be prominent the whole way. Tobacco Road, who is remarkably following in the exact footsteps of his L&N stablemate, Looking at Lee, who of course was the runner-up in the 2017 Kentucky Derby, fifth in his debut at Churchill, then won an Ellis maiden race, and then won the Ellis Juvenile. That's exactly what Looking at Lee did as a two-year-old. So they're hopeful that he'll continue to progress. I think that Brad Cox might have a sleeper in the Turf, the Dirt Horse, Pole Setter. I think he might be real tough. And then kind of curious that Carol Katt, after that Arlington Million Day win at Saratoga when Kenny was with us in Chicago watching the race, he's getting first-time Lasix off that maiden win, over a pretty good Chad Brown maiden teachable moment. So Wayne Catalano is pretty confident that Manny Wall is going to step up and run big. I know that the people behind Hog Creek Hustle, number 10, they too are really hopeful in this horse. So it's really, as you would expect with a field of 12, and as you said, coming from so many different places, it's a very, very interesting renewal of the Iroquois. Race 10 of 11 tomorrow here at Churchill.
You know, you mentioned the Hog Creek Hustle, and at 10-1, the overanalyzed colt feels like the interesting price to go with the Asmussen runners, and you don't see a horse rally like that and pass horses going five furlongs to break a maiden. Usually a five furlong race like that is won on the front end, and so that shows some tactical speed. So stretching out here, the overanalyze out of the Candy Ride Mare, and $150,000 purchase that actually, if I looked up the average for overanalyze, I would say it was substantially below that. So this was a horse that must have shown well last year at Keeneland as a yearling, and Vicky Foley will be under bet in here, is my guess. I'm glad you brought that colt up.
Yeah, Churchill put out a real long little passage about him yesterday. A lady named Patty Tipton is actually the head of the owner, Something Special Racing. And Greg Foley, Vicky's brother, was actually the one who was most influential in them buying this horse for $150,000. So, one of the many interesting stories that as we start down, I guess, is the Derby Trail.
Well, and the Oaks Trail, too, and the Pocahontas seems to very much go through Tom Amos and Serengeti Empress, who was so impressive running off in the Ellis Park debutante after a decent showing in the Schuylerville, had broken her maiden at Indiana, and the alternation filly for Joel Politti, Corey Lannery, sticks, and the horse to beat, 5-2.
Yeah, I think she'll be less than that, maybe in the 7-5, 8-5, I don't know. they all look good winning off by 13 and a half, don't they? And Tom Amos was really pleased with that. He said things just didn't go right for her in the Schuylerville when Javier dropped the whip, and she was a little bit eager early, and yeah, it just wasn't her day. But anyway, with Corey on the rail, Tom had a real good quote for me. He says, with Corey Lannery, you either draw the one hole or you end up there. So, I mean, even more than Calvin Bo-Rail, Corey's really become known for kind of easing them up to the 5/16th pole and taking advantage of everybody else being swept out by the centrifugal force and hugging that rail. So I would imagine that she's going to get the best trip she possibly can, assuming she breaks sharply. But there are a number of other horses in here, Steve, that are worthy of mention. Love My Honey off that real nice maiden victory for Maker at Saratoga. And then the two fillies out of that somewhat controversial race on, what day was it, August 19th at Saratoga, when it just hit the wire, actually won the race for Kieran, but they put up the Todd filly, two dozen roses. So, again, a really interesting race. Tapping Pearl, who comes out of the Schuylerville, really didn't have much of a chance to run that day. She was sharp back here on the final weekend of the spring meet, and winning at first asking for Stone Street and Mark Cassie. A lot of options here beyond the rail-drawn favorite, Serengeti Empress, in the 50th running of the Pocahontas. The last of the 11 races ends all the multis, the single six, the pick five, the pick four, and all that.
Splashy Kisses, we should mention, too, the Blame filly for Doug O'Neill. She ran into Brill in her debut in July at Del Mar, then came back 4 weeks later and aced her second start, and she's okay. That's Phoenix Thoroughbreds and Partners, I thought that she might be the other major player. A couple of quick looks at the other two stakes on the card. The Grade 3 Locust Grove, where it feels like Blue Prize and Champagne Problems are your likelies. Maybe a little pinch hit from the Kleins and Brad Cox. And then the Open Mind, Vertical Oak, clearly the standout in that group, although a couple of 2-1 shots in Miss Kentucky for Rusty Arnold and Preston Madden. And Larry Jones has got a Stroll in the Park coming off a visit to Mountaineer, but she's been in good form, too.
Yeah, I think one of those two outside horses will beat Vertical Oak. Miss Kentucky and the Stroll in the Park both ran in that really fast edition of the Roxalana, the second to last Saturday of the meet here at the spring. I think they're favorably drawn. I think one of them will win. Blue Prize, I don't think, will be 2-1. I think closer to even money once you recognize that she just galloped here in the Grade 2 Falls City last fall, and then when she came back in the Fleur-de-Lis on the Foster undercard at night, she galloped in that race, too, as the favorite. Ignacio Carias has been pointing for this race ever since the Fleur-de-Lis, so I think even money-ish on Blue Prize and the Locust Grove. The Open Mind does start off the pick four, and all stakes pick four. It's going to be a great day here tomorrow at Churchill.
Want to mention that the pick five starts with a maiden special, and these are boys going six furlongs. There's some very notable pedigrees in here, Marty, including the number two, Tom. Brian House, who works out of the training center in Lexington and wins at a doesn't have a lot of starters, but wins. And he has got his hands on the full brother to Cloud Computing.
Preakness winner 2017 for Chad. That's kind of an odd name, isn't it? Tom?
Tom. You've also got to take a look down to Rudy Brissett as well, the Windstar China Horse Club and Team Preamble, the 7, this a Peter Callahan bred that sold relatively modestly, $225,000. The Cloud Computing brother went for $190,000, but this happens to be a Spitestown out of Beautician, the nice Kenny McPeak, multiple graded stake winner, and Preamble's been working up a storm. You've also got a Will Take Charge for Dale Romans, bred by Mac Merhall, Spendthrift, spent $270 on Blue Steel. the 9. And then all the way on the outside, Mrs. Benson with Al Stahl, with Little Al, a distorted humor cult out of 50 Shades of Hay, bred by Stone Street, locally owned. This is a really nice group.
You know, there's a couple of the maiden fillies. There's a divided race that goes 7 and 8 on Sunday. Same thing, all kinds of pedigrees. And Brad Cox, I had a talk with him this morning about some of the stakes horses, but I had to ask him about Covfefe. And he says he really is high on her. She's really fast. And he's got another horse named Unholy Alliance. Those are races 7 and 8. On the Sunday card, so the action never ends here at Churchill now.
We should also add to that 7th race tomorrow. I'm doing a disservice to the one and only Charles L. Scooter Dickey, and Rodney Payton named a horse Scooter's Boy. And somehow, surprisingly, Scooter picked out a flatter. Go figure. And Scooter never met a flatter he didn't like. Scooter's Boy might be okay in here at 12-1 in that group of fancy pedigrees.
Scooter Dickey of flat-out fame by flatter. And Scooter got lucky on the last race Wednesday. He got put up when probably should have been put up, but he did not have the best horse. But anyway, they put him up for a real nice purse in the Wednesday finale.
Well, don't even get me started, because I got taken down in that spot Wednesday.
You had the best horse. I don't know what Joe was doing. I love him. He's a great jockey, but he just anyway.
So you were in the same boat. Yeah, I had that pick four taken out of my pocket. So I wasn't too pleased.
I wasn't involved. I just thought it was the kind of race where I was watching. Like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And
too late. You
know, and there's actually a little tiny, like, on the inside rail, it kind of juts out a little bit. And it was really unfortunate that it all happened right there. And that evidently wasn't taken into account by the stewards, but that's the configuration of the inner rail itself kind of played into the fact that the inside horse got squeezed. But anyway.
So you and I are on the same page. All right, Marty, it is a great start to the Churchill season, and a very intense couple of weeks before we turn to Keeneland and Fall Stars. And it's now going to be an express service train to the Breeders' Cup from here.
Yeah, we start. The racing form, we start all our dissecting of all the various Breeders' Cup races. I think it will be, we start on Monday, not this Monday. So it's going to be 2 weeks from today, I think, will be the editions in which all the various Breeders' Cup races will have all the prospective hopefuls, et cetera, the whole rundown on that. So, yeah, getting toward that time.
Marty McGee, everybody. DRF McGee on your Twitter machine. Mart, enjoy. We'll talk as soon as next week.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Marty McGee, everyone, and a great start to the meet. And I hadn't dug into that Sunday group, but not only am I printing them out, they're spilling onto the floor because I didn't have the tray open. But this does look like a nice set. That they split 6 furlong fillies the 7th and 8th on Sunday. So, important start to the meet. Let's take a break. We're going to go north of the border and check in with Keith McCalmont, Triple Dead Heat, and talk about the big weekend at Woodbine next. Then Mike Beer, and we're going to check in with John Sequeira as well from Hill and Dale. And there's a little bit of a breather. Not that today isn't busy at the sale on the sales grounds at Keeneland, because the Book 2 horses for Saturday and Sunday sessions, they're being shown. And we'll check in. We'll get some thoughts about the sale and maybe a bit of a preview for the middle market from John Sequeira himself. Nicole Russo, and she'll recap the Book 1 festivities, which were, I didn't mention at the start of the show, but just another eye-crossing day. Another what? Another 7? I lost track. Another $7 million? I don't know. Here it is. 1, 2, 3, 4. Another 6. Including the $2.1 million Medaglia d'Oro. It was a big day for MDO, who had the top two hips. Phoenix Thoroughbreds going to the well often. Godolphin as well. They bought the $1.6 million Medaglia d'Oro out of Day at the Spa, the wonderful Turf Miler mare. Our friend Steve Lehman, horse of a lifetime. And then later, as well, Medaglia d'Oro to Godolphin for $1 million. So three seven-figure sellers. Pioneer the Nile had one. Curlin had the one out of Dame Dorothy for Bob and Luana Lowe. And Into Mischief to Larry Best. Larry Best spending, not like a drunken sailor, but like a sailor that's had a few. Back after this, joined by Keith McCalvin.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When they kick at your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law break in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement or waiting in death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you have to answer to, whoa, the guns of Brixton. The money feels good.
We're back at the races.
Life, you like it well, but surely your time.
That's from the unbelievably great Rockabilly Clash album that covers the Clash. That's the Honey Dippers version. Guns of Brixton. And we go north of the border. Keith McCalmont, Triple Dead Heat, joins us. And the big weekend of the fall, one of the big ones, because there's also the international action yet to come. But Woodbine Mile Day has become really, I mean, second only to Queen's Plate and international interest, big stop for the contest players as well. We talked about that with Pete Fornatel, and everybody excited on that front. They'll throng the tent there up the stretch, and lots of action there. And Keith, I've said all week that we think back to Wise Dan seemed to really, really give this weekend a big push and a big focus, and the momentum from that point has really been, you know, very distinct. And of course, Teppan visiting 2 years ago didn't hurt either. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, you know what? This race has become the marquee stepping stone to getting to the Breeders' Cup Mile, and I'd even take it back to Court Vision and Tour Allure, who they both won this race, and then there was only a nose separating them the year Court Vision absolutely upset the mile at Churchill Downs. We just seem to attract the right type of horses to this race, and I think it's our turf course. I think there's room for good horses to stretch their legs in our stretch run, and it just matters. It matters a lot when it comes to quality.
And I think, I tried to bring this up yesterday with Andy Serling, as it happens, I think the one-turn mile on the grass there, then turning around and going two turns, there's something to that as well. The mile, the one-turn mile, is sharp, and then that gives the horses going two turns a bit of an edge, because the pace is not going to be as strong going two turns as it is in the one turn.
Now, I hope Andy was saying good things about us, because he's been a little acerbic on Twitter, and I know Andy's not shy, but he took a couple little shots at our baby races on Sunday, and I actually think he got a pretty quality group in the Natalma in the summer. But, you know, with regards to the configuration of our turf course, the one-turn mile matters, but it's the two furlongs from the top of the lane home that makes the difference to these good horses. If you're patient and you have horse, you'll get room. It's not like a tight hairpin turn and 10 horses. You're hoping that you're going to get lucky with the trip. Here, if you're good enough, you'll get there.
No, point well made. Agree on all fronts, and we'll address the two-year-olds in a minute for the Sunday card, because I started the show saying, you know, people shouldn't forget that once the action wraps up on Sunday, on Saturday there's still the very nice pair of races on Sunday, and the Vice Regent as well, the restricted group. But let's talk about the feature right off the bat, and there is an all-stakes pick four that starts with the Woodbine Mile. There's also the combination between Belmont and Woodbine for a cross-country pick four, and the Woodbine Mile starts things off. Talk a little bit about the cast that came together, including 2 Euros, who actually had a delay. I didn't get a chance to discuss this during the week, but their travel was interrupted, and they didn't get in till yesterday.
Yeah, and oddly enough, I think they're the two best horses in the race, which, if this hadn't have happened, Lord Glitters to me is head and shoulders above this group. But so what happened was the European contingent flew from England over to Amsterdam, and the plane broke down. So they had to wait for another ride, and they did get to do a little bit of light training, by the airport there. So it wasn't like a complete disaster in terms of them not getting their fitness in, but they didn't arrive. The plane landed here at 7:30 last night, and
wow.
It was like 10:30 or so by the time you get through customs and all the feed and everything else coming off the plane with them. So it was a late night here for our staff, making sure that everyone arrived in time. And I was out here again this morning just at dawn, and everyone seems okay. Lord Glitters and Stormy Antarctic both went out on the turf and had a good look around. And Glitters actually did a fair bit of work down the lane. And most of them are going to go out again tomorrow morning and stretch again. And while it's not ideal, neither David O'Meara, who trains Lord Glitters, or the traveling head lad for Stormy Antarctic seem too bothered with what's happened. So it's a really, really strong group of Euros. For the Americans who've shipped in, they didn't have as far to come, obviously. I think Delta Prince is a very good improving horse and could have done, could have been closer in the four-star Dave if Voodoo Song wasn't freewheeling as he was. So that's probably the best of the American horses in my mind. But Lord Glitter's Group 1 placed overseas, this is a very, very good horse.
Won't argue. And, of course, David O'Meara came to Woodbine a few years ago with Mondi Elist, and so he knows the kind of horse that can be successful here. Ed Walker knows what he's doing when it comes to Stormy Antarctic. And the one domestic horse, local horse, that has to at least get a mention, Keith, is Mr. Haverkamp, who has done very little wrong. He's perfect at Woodbine. Two of his six career wins are at the distance. Catherine Day Phillips, of course, daughter of the Olympic legend, and I don't know if he's Tower of Texas in terms positioned to impact the race significantly, but he certainly has got the right style. There's not a lot of pace, and Eureka Da Silva, I think, can keep him close, and he's got a nice finish to him. I thought that if you wanted to put a horse in that was going to be over 9-2, that it was Mr. Haverkamp.
I can't argue with you. The Catherine's had not just an outstanding year, but an outstanding 3 years with really good quality horses, many of them bred by David Anderson right here in Canada. And I think with Eureka riding the way he is, he's one win away from 2000 for his career. He's going to get it in the second race today here at Woodbine. But he's our leading rider, and he was an absolute demonstration of a masterclass turf ride in the Grade 2 Play the King. He demonstrated why you ride the course the way you do. And he looked like he was checked in and blocked behind horses, but really he was just being patient, and he waited and he waited and he waited. And when the room came, Haverkamp surged through the hole, and he ran away with the Play the King with ease. He's undefeated on the turf course, and he's good. Now we're going to find out, facing against this group, if he's as good as they think he is. But he looks the picture. He's dapples on dapples. There's definitely nothing to pick against him. If you think he's going to improve enough to take on a Group 1 placed horse from Ascot, well, now's your chance, because you won't get a price after today.
The Woodbine Mile starts the pick four that's tied into New York. We'll discuss that set with Mike Beer in a little bit. The Canadian comes up after the second leg of the local all-stakes pick four, and some thoughts about the mile in the eighth, also one turn, and Chad Brown comes in hot with both Inflexibility and New Money Honey.
Yeah, New Money Honey was out doing a piece of work this morning. I think there's very little to choose between the two of them. Inflexibility obviously knows this course really, really well. Until Mythical Mission didn't ship up, so that'll be a scratch in the Canadian. But the year that Chad Brown has had at Saratoga and just in general, I think you've got to use both. You really don't want to go out of this pick four getting beat by the other Brown.
Well, fair point. You also, we also should at least touch on Starship Jubilee, who has run races that are competitive, and has always been a notch below Graded Company.
Yeah, this is a very clever claim by Kevin Ackhart. He's got a history of doing this. I would say the best example may be Calgary Cat, who went on to be a champion sprinter here, claimed off Mark Cassie. This horse got good at the right time, and they've been able to win with her at a number of different distances. I think the 9 furlongs is about right for this horse and maybe what it wants to do. I don't know about this level. I think New Money Honey is a pretty serious horse, and that's who I would be running with if I had the single one. But definitely Kevin Ackhart knows how to get a horse ready for a big race.
The Bold Venture brings the events over to the main track, the synthetic, and What is anybody going to say about Pink Lloyd and Bob Tiller, the old Forrester gelding, now 16-for-19? And I suppose the one rub in here happens to be that this is 6.5, and his only recent loss happens to be at 6.5. Other than that, Pink Lloyd just feels so much the, you know, the 1,200-pound gorilla.
You know, he wins so many times in a row in stakes races, beating everything we throw at him, and you're not supposed to do that in sprint races. There's very little margin for error in a sprint. If something doesn't go right, you're generally in trouble. But Pink Lloyd's main issue when he gets beat, which isn't often, is getting out of the gate. He likes to jump the gate. Sometimes he'll dwell, but mostly he's trying to get out of there before it's time. And I happened to have a chance to stand on the rail with Bob yesterday morning and watch Pink Lloyd train, and he's the fastest horse in Canada and probably the slowest training horse in the entire world. They have to put him on the training track at 10:30 when no one else is out there, and he just packs around. You could walk alongside him while he goes. But the thing is, if you put another horse out with him, he has to beat it, and not just beat it, open lengths on it. So he looks great. He's training the way he comes into a race normally. If he gets out of the gate and doesn't beat himself, this field can't handle him.
Well, and for those that are going to have narrow tickets, feels like you can single here. And I wasn't sure about it last night when we were talking stats, race lens, and handicapping the races, but the more I looked at it later and this morning, it just feels like you almost are obliged to. And one of the reasons that a single there might make sense is because the 11th, the Grade 1 Northern Dancer, 1.5 miles, Keith, and this, in a lot of ways, I mean, especially if the Euro dominates the mile, this race is the most competitive of the day and the most interesting in a lot of ways. Oh, we lost Keith. All right, we'll get Keith McCallum back. And, you know, last night we had a fun conversation on the Stats Race Lens webinar. And the horse that, it's funny, the horse that Dan Torschman landed on, Mechtal. And it's funny, Andy Serling and I, later in the evening, Andy and I were talking about these races, and I brought up Mechtal, and Andy had said the same thing that I had kind of felt, which was, I had completely forgotten about this horse. He had run in the Joe Hirsch last fall, and had come out of the Arlington Million, and he was dismal in both. Well, then he went away, and he's 5 years old, and showed up in the Nijinsky and ran a tremendous race for Grand Motion. And Mechtal comes back here, draws the rail, and that, not only does he draw the rail, he manages to pick up Jose Ortiz in the process. So Mechtal really kind of jumped off with further examination. Hawkbill is going to take plenty of money. You had last year's upsetter in here, Johnny Bear. What a wonderful story that was. And we talked to Ashley Bringus coming out of the win last year. You've got all the horses that mixed it up in the Sky Classic. Keith, I was vamping, waiting to get you back. It, really, this is the best race of the day.
This is, for me, the revenge race of the day. I look forward to these race days so often, and I don't get a chance to wager that often, but last year I was keyed on Hawksville, pick threes, pick fours, pick fives, you name it. My whole day was built around one horse, and for him to get beat by a head by Johnny Bear, a local horse, was just absolutely kicking sand in my face. It was, you hate to get beat by the local when you see that horse every day, and they freshened him. He came out of that race, Hawksville, with a bit of a leg injury, and he freshened, came back to Dubai, won two group races over there, absolutely looked like a champion, and you're not supposed to go to the well again, but damn it, I'm going to the well again. This horse looks tremendous in the morning. Unlike all the other Euros, he arrived on Saturday and has been training here all week long. They've got revenge on mind, and so do I.
I just don't know. I just don't know if you really can trust him in here. You do have a lot of interesting options, including Patterson Cross, who found himself in a bit of a jackpot in the late stages of the John's Call here at Saratoga, going back toward the end of the meet about 3-4 weeks ago, and that was a spot that people, I think you'll have a lot of trip handicappers betting back to Patterson Cross. I vamped on Mechtal considerably, and then I mentioned that you had all the Sky Classic horses coming back. Tis a Slam has been in career best form for Roger Atfield, the Chiefswood homebred. There's a lot going on in here. You've also got that English Illusion, who is somewhat interesting, and the mild upset in the Halton last time. I don't know if that signals, how viable English Illusion is, but you're going to get a price, and I think he's going to be overlooked.
You know, I think wins and success on this turf course is an important thing to note, just because of the way it lays out. And if you've got the stamina to win on this course and have proven it in the past, it really does matter. Of all the ones that you mentioned there, Tis a Slam is one that picked up Steve Bain as a rider and tried a new racing style. Instead of sitting back, they put him on the front end and let him gallop a little bit. And that really seems to suit this horse, who's really well-bred, like most of the Chiefswood horses are. And frankly, Roger Atfield in a turf race going a distance, this might be the local that upsets me this year.
Now, earlier in the card, we should also note the Sweetbriar 2 is the first of the stakes races on the day, and Code Warrior, 2-1 for Mike DiPaolo, feels like the race goes through that 5-year-old mare. Let's talk about Sunday as well, Keith, and you talked about the Win and You're In events, the Natalma and the Summer. They've been so productive toward the Breeders' Cup juvenile races really since the inception of the turf, but a lot of times we see the Natalma and Summer Exeters contest the main track Breeders' Cup races as well. Some thoughts about Sunday's Grade Ones.
These are tremendous fields and really, really tough for handicappers to figure out. There's not a ton of form there. There's lots of great breeding, but they're lightly raced horses, many of them stretching out to a mile for the first time. I don't know if you believe in love at first sight or not, but La Pelosa stepped off the plane for Charlie Appleby and Godolphin, and for me it was a wow moment seeing this filly on the track here. She got here early. She's trained so well all week. And I think there's an element of quality there. And Jamie Spencer gets the call. This is a filly that I'll definitely be having on my ticket for Sunday. Minted is one you can draw a line through. She didn't come up, so she won't be part of the race. And then you've got my gal Betty, who's never been beaten at the wire, although she has been DQ'd once. Again, this is Roger Atfield. One of our top riders, Rafi Hernandez, has the call. It's just a question of how much better can she get. We already know she's talented. Is she Group 1 talented? And Catherine Day Phillips, one of our top local trainers, has a very solid chance with Artelina, who's 8-1 on the morning line. Our leading rider, Eurico Da Silva, has the call. I think there's a chance you're going to get a price here, because the favorite isn't going to be any lower than 3-1, 7-2 kind of thing. There's a lot of value in the Natalma.
You also, we should note Stillwater Cove in here that won the Bolton Landing and won well for Wesley Ward, the Quality Road filly. You've got a lot of Euros showing up, which I think says something, actually. Kind of an interesting twist to see them invade and take a opportunity to win and get in for Breeders' Cup. Talk about the boys' race, the ninth, the Summer.
Yeah, the Summer's come up strong, too. There's big fields in both races, and I'm looking at the locals a little bit here. I love, love, love Nash Trick at 8-1. This is an Augustan stable, homebred, super well-related. one like a good thing first time out with some backstretch fuzz behind it as well. I think the morning line might be wrong here, and I love Ernie Perry, but I think this horse is going to be much lower. Of the Euros, I know they just arrived. Federal Law for Tatar Racing has Oisin Murphy, who knows how to win at this track here, for trainer Archie Watson. Another one who looks well, has some interesting form. And, you know, Muskoka Wonder is a stakes winner. I'm not sure about this distance, this level. Is this a Group 1 horse when we've got all these Europeans coming in? It's a real acid test, but I do really like Nash Trick here of the locals.
Well, and Peter Brandt and Chad Brown have got the Warfront colt that won at Saratoga in dramatic fashion. Fog of War, who really exploded late and will stretch out from the 5.5, and did that win, got that win over a yielding course. This is a nice group. And of the maiden variety that are involved, Cassie sends Tricky Magician, who has been third and second twice, and is actually moving in the right direction, and Tricky Magician might get overlooked. You get Johnny V aboard as well, and he also sends War of Will, who was a third place finisher in a 7-furlong event going back to the end of August, gets Lasix in here, and Joel Rosario jumps aboard. So a couple of Cassie maidens that both seem like they could be eligible for success. It's going to be a tremendous weekend in Toronto, and those that are on their way. I know Pete Fornatel was motoring himself earlier this morning, and wish everybody good luck. The contest players, of course, and Keith, I appreciate the visit as always. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate getting on and speaking with you. It's always a blast. And, you know, we didn't talk about one race. It's not a stakes race. They're not the same quality horses. But race 12, last race on Saturday, mandatory payout in the jackpot high five, $650,000 in the pool. There's gonna,
oh, cool.
They're going to put in easily another $1.5 million.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned it. Oh, yeah, mandatory jackpot. There it is. I had missed that. And so the 12th, people be aware, and it's a 10-claimer with a field of 14. You got any insight for anybody?
This is the sort of race where there's two horses that look logical on paper. But this is a class level where logical on paper doesn't make sense. So I have a feeling that we're going to see an upset winner, and no, I can't give you anyone yet. I'm going to say, follow me on Triple Dead Heat. I'm going to tweet out a ticket a little later in the day on Saturday.
Very good. Keith McCalmont, and as he mentioned, Triple Dead Heat, one of the great handles on Twitter. Keith, good luck this weekend. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Hope to see you up here soon.
I would love to get back up, and the international, that's an event I wouldn't mind coming for as well. Let's take a break, and when we come back, John Secura is going to join us. We got about a 10-minute window for John as they show horses at the Hillandale consignment. It's been a tremendous first 4 days of the Keeneland sale, and in particular for Hillandale, whether it's Curlin or Violence or Kitten's Joy, and then the horses that Hillandale handles for other clients. Very strong first 4 days, and we'll talk to John about it in a little bit. Then Mike Beer and Nicole Russo with a sales recap of book one and a preview of book two. Ed DeRosa, Hammer and More. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.